This is
Make It Kind.
M.I.P.
with Masamela Matfumo.
Mark Thompson.
Make It Kind.
Get woke.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, there is a racial divide even in the air. The American Lung Association recently released its State of the Air report, and we're learning that the African American community suffers from air pollution at higher rates than others. Joining us today to talk to us about that report and about this issue is American Lung Association spokesperson and associate professor of pediatrics and environmental health sciences at Columbia University Irving Medical Center, Dr. Stephanie Levinsky-Desir. Dr. Levinsky-Desir, welcome to Make It Plain.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you.
Wonderful to have you with us. And also we're joined by Wynn Welch, who's a COPD, chronic obstructive pulmonary disease sufferer, and her air quality and her breathing is impacted during poor air quality days. We'll hear a bit about her personal experience. Sister Wynn Welch, how are you? Welcome to Make It Plain.
Thank you for having me.
Pleasure to have you. Dr. Levinsky-Desir, first of all, tell us about this, a little bit about this State of the Air report.
The State of the Air report is something that comes out every year from the American Lung Association, and you can think of it as a report card. It's a document, a very dense document that comes out, but there's some pretty easy to capture elements of it on the internet where you can see basically the neighborhood in which you live in, how does it compare to other neighborhoods across the United States, and the real message is about what's the air quality. What's your grade in terms of a failing or an A mark in terms of the pollutants that typically pollute our neighborhoods and our environments?
And when we look at air pollution, we're talking about smog and things like that, correct?
Correct. So the major air pollutants that the State of the Air report on are ozone, which is, as you described, like smog, and fine particulate matter. We call that PM2.5, or particulate matter that's so small that it can get down into the lower airways and really target disease way down in your lungs. And that is soot. So you can think of that as any teeny tiny particle that you may or may not be able to see, or soot.
And those are particles. Are there any other types of particles, or would those also be included in soot when we're talking about things we are breathing in our communities?
Yeah. So when you think about fine particles, it composes a large, broad area of things that includes teeny tiny allergens that can trigger inflammation and allergic disease in the airway. Soot is also that black carbon. Some people may have heard of that term. It's a type of fine particulate matter. So the main difference between the particulates are the tiny particles versus ozone or nitrogen dioxide. Those are the gases. And all of these are factors that pollute our environments. They come from many different sources. In urban neighborhoods like New York City, where we live, that might come from traffic. I gave a talk recently out in Pittsburgh that comes from industrial plants. So depending on where you live in the country, the source of these pollutants may vary. Mm. But the take-home message is that they are all polluting the air that we breathe and causing people to have worse respiratory disease when they're exposed in high concentrations to these pollutants.
When Welch, in Wisconsin, where you live, 77% of African Americans live in an area with a failing grade for at least one pollutant compared to 29% of white individuals. So you're dealing with this, Wynn Welch, in your daily reality, aren't you?
Definitely. To the point at sometimes during different seasons, I have a patio and I can't even have my patio door open nor my window. I had to have one of my lung specialists to order air purifier for my home due to the quality of air that I'm not able to open my windows, not able to open my patio during different seasons.
So do you say season? So I guess you have fair warning of when you can expect the air quality to be low. Is that right?
Yes, definitely. And not only that, due to my lung issue, I can start grasping, may even need to settle myself down to take a breathing treatment. And at that time and point, I say, okay, it's time for me to close these windows. Time for me to close the patio door. Mm-hmm. Yes.
What seasons are these? I presume spring and summer, or am I wrong?
Spring and summer. Mm-hmm.
I suspect, too, Dr. Levinsky, this year, there are a lot of people who have to make the kinds of decisions that Wynn Welch has to make.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And I think one of the reasons why I'm so glad that you're doing this program on this topic is because, as Ms. Welch mentioned, she can feel it herself. Not everybody can feel it. And so I think it's important and to know where to look for resources or where to look to understand what the air quality is so that it doesn't get to the point where it's actually affecting your lungs, but that you can make some of those changes even before that.
Yes.
Go ahead.
And I'm not for sure. I believe the reason that I'm aware and can feel and grasp her and tell in my lungs is because I had a lung removed. So by me having a lung, my upper right lung removed, that kind of really give me an indication, okay, today is not even a good day, girl, for you to go outside.
If you don't mind, describe to us that trigger for you. What does that feel like?
I feel I'm grasping for some fresh air, not just any air, but some fresh air. And I can feel and sense and hear a wheezing within myself, within my lungs.
Mm-hmm. God bless you. I'm sorry. That's scary to me.
Yeah. God is awesome.
And you negotiate this in your life pretty often, I take it.
Yes. And I'm definitely an advocate for myself concerning the team of doctors that I have. Mm-hmm. Yes, I have an RN on my case to come to my home. I have a case manager on my case to come to my home. So I'm very outspoken and I know how to speak up for myself to say, hey, I need this, I need that, else I'm gonna have a bad night at night. Even when I call my doctors, I say, hey, I'm gonna need this, I'm gonna need that, because the quality of air is all on the news. You know what I'm saying? And it's affecting me.
Dr. Levinsky, this year, Ms. Welch is telling us about her COPD experience, but I noticed in the report, this affects other health concerns as well, some of which I was clearly unaware of. Asthma, of course, that's not a surprise.
That's
but
right.
Diabetes and heart disease can be affected by air pollution. Can you talk to us about that, Dr. Levinsky?
Absolutely right. So when you think about who is at risk, or who's susceptible to the effects of air pollution, we all are to some degree. Mm-hmm. However, there are certain populations of people who have higher risk and who should be paying even closer attention, as Ms. Welch has described, in terms of their exposures. And so that includes people who have underlying respiratory conditions like asthma or COPD.
Definitely.
People who have heart disease, underlying heart problems, elderly, the really young, pregnant women, particularly as this might affect their fetuses, their unborn children. So these are all populations of people that really need to be paying attention when it comes to air quality and understanding what is the weather outside, what is the air quality outside, and make those very real decisions that Ms. Welch mentioned about, should I go outside today? Should I exercise outside? Should I keep the windows open or should I keep them closed? And just as you alluded to, Reverend Mark, poor air quality has been linked to premature death. It's been linked to respiratory infections. It's been heart attacks and strokes, impaired cognitive function, metabolic disorders, in addition to the asthma and the COPD and lung cancer that we typically think about. So it's not just the lungs that are affected. It's the whole body that can be affected.
And just to be clear, diabetes can be affected.
And diabetes as well. Absolutely. Yep.
So when we look at this, the solutions are necessarily right at our fingertips. We're talking about, are we, doctor, a society that is just now becoming popular to deal with environmental issues like this? This is not just a button you can press to make the air quality better, is it?
So this is the big issue, right? When you think about, why are there disparities in health outcomes in our country? Why is it that certain populations of people of color, people who live in communities of poverty, why are we experiencing disease at an alarming rate compared to other populations of people? And it comes down to factors like this. So air quality, air pollution exposure, disproportionately impacts communities of color. There are a variety of reasons why. Some of them include point sources of pollution. So if you think about, where are the neighborhoods where highways and truck routes, all of those things being placed, those are in our neighborhoods, in our communities. Where are the neighborhoods where there are going to be factories that are going to be emitting particle pollutants? Those are in neighborhoods where we tend to live. And so when you think about, why is it that our people end up having worse disease, it's because of structural factors in the communities and the neighborhoods where we live that make us disproportionately exposed to environmental pollutants, like the air pollutants we're talking about right now that are highlighted in the State of the Air report. And yes, if we're thinking about how do we reduce disease burdens in our communities, we have to think about not just how are we taking care of ourselves and how are we trying to keep ourselves healthy, but where are we living? Where are the community? What's the neighborhoods around where we're living? And how do we advocate for environmental justice and making sure that our communities have clean air?
Tell us about your neighborhood. Do any of those things exist? In your neighborhood in Wisconsin. First of all, what city are you in?
I am in Glendale, Wisconsin.
So you got highways and stuff like that all around you?
Definitely, I am. It's a suburban area, but I'm definitely right next to 43 North, 43 South.
Okay.
And there's a lot of trucks, a lot of construction going on. I even live right in back of We Energy. Yeah, it's a lot going on.
Now We Energy. Tell us about We Energy.
Beg your pardon?
Tell us about We Energy.
We Energy is where we get our lights.
That's what I thought.
Electricity.
That's what I thought. Okay.
Yes. Well, it's definitely a lot going on in the neighborhood that I'm in.
And I don't want to take for granted, Dr. Levesque, this year that everybody gets this, but you mentioned how a lot of these factories and whatnot are in proximity to our communities. That's an historical thing, isn't it? Because no one, our good friend, Dr. Benjamin Chavis, coined the phrase years ago, environmental racism. They put things that are dangerous and pollutant closer to us so the white folks don't have to breathe.
Exactly.
What's dirty. And also, quite frankly, the land to build is always priced down. So it's cheaper to put stuff in our neighborhood.
That's right. Exactly.
So this is an example of that type of ongoing environmental racism, isn't it, Doc?
Exactly right. And can I raise you one? You hear about these congestion pricing that's about to happen in New York City?
Yes.
Right about this, right? The idea is that in lower Manhattan, there's a lot of traffic and that is potentially causing more air pollution in lower Manhattan. in addition to other factors for why they are implementing this congestion pricing tax. But if you think about what that's going to do, is that people who are not going to want to pay extra money, $20, $25 to drive into lower Manhattan, are going to drive into your neighborhood in the Bronx.
Right.
To avoid. So we're going to further increase or further pollute the neighborhoods that are already marginalized at this current time. Because, and this is the key takeaway when you think about environmental justice, the idea is that we need to have a voice in the policies and the rules and the regulations that informed the air and the environments with which we're living. And so we need to have a voice in thinking about this policy of congestion pricing that's going to improve air quality potentially in lower Manhattan might actually create worse harms in communities like Northern Manhattan and the Bronx.
Said in that, and she mentions double entendre, congestion pricing. Seemingly it's traffic congestion.
Exactly.
But it also leads to environmental and pollution congestion as well. Lower Manhattan folks and a whole lot of us down there.
Exactly right.
That's what that's about.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
This country was built on a distinctly American work ethic. But today, work is in trouble. We've outsourced most of our manufacturing to other countries. And with that, we sent away good jobs and diminished our capability to make things. American Giant is a clothing company that's pushing back against this tide. They make a variety of high-quality clothing and activewear, like sweatshirts, jeans, dresses, jackets, and so much more. All made right here in the USA, from growing the cotton to adding the final touches. So when you buy American Giant, you create jobs for seamsters, cutters, and factory workers in towns and cities across the United States. And it's about more than an income. Jobs bring pride, purpose. They stitch people together. If all that sounds good to you, visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order when you use code STAPLE20 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with promo code STAPLE20.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Speaking of being involved in policy, as your doctor just said, Sister Welch, you mentioned being an advocate in, when it comes to your health and your doctors. Are you also one who, Ms. Welch, who is an advocate on behalf of environmental policies being improved in our communities?
Oh, definitely. Yes. As a matter of fact, I just left Washington, D.C., asking the Senate for billions of dollars for early detection, for COPD, lung cancer. So yes, I'm really big on this. Yes, definitely.
What about the weather too, Dr. Levinsky, this year? We're, times are changing in terms of the global realities we're facing in terms of weather. Does that increase or actually decrease the quality of air that we're breathing?
Everybody, have you all heard about climate change, right? So yes. When we think about what climate change is, one of the reasons why climate change is happening is because of these pollutants, these greenhouse gases like the ozone, like the smog, like the particle pollution. They make the climate warmer. You notice these massive swings in temperature, these really high days. What does that do? It makes land drier. And so you all remember back in June when us here in New York were experiencing the manifestations of wildfires that were way up in Canada. People who live out on the West Coast, they experienced greater wildfire seasons more and more, and have been. We got a taste of it this last year. All of this is the consequence of climate change and the temperatures getting warmer and hotter, causing longer and heavier fire seasons. It's a cycle. It's a vicious cycle. And that is pollution, right? So that's adding to the problem, those wildfires and that wildfire smoke. So it's all very much related. And when we think about what are some things that we can do, we have to think about what is our own carbon footprint? What are we contributing to this climate change crisis? And how can we also help to improve it? Because it's all linked.
Definitely. It clearly is all linked together. Sister Wynne Welch, tell us about your typical day, because I know one of the things this report addresses is stress. Now I'm stressed because I never thought about it. No, and I'm glad to be, because I need to be more concerned about it, but I never thought about it. I don't think about air quality, because at least in my mind, I don't have, and most of us don't, a lot of times, unless we're diagnosed, we take it for granted what we're breathing and what we're not breathing. So we all should be a little bit concerned and stressed. Tell us about your daily morning routine. When you wake up in the morning, I guess you have to see and feel and check what the air quality is, don't you?
Definitely. And I definitely have to see how I'm feeling. If I'm fatigued, tired, out of the norm, something that's telling me, hey, wait a minute, something is not right. A lot of times I wear a mask.
Good.
I remember in June, was it June when they had the fire in Canada?
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't even really go outdoors. And I have to work. And I work in the medical field. I work for surgeons. So I was like, I cannot even come outside. You know, I say it's just, and thank God that my job and the surgeons that I work for, they have been with me throughout this whole ordeal, even through my lung cancer. Even the cancer went from my lung to my brain. So I had to have brain surgery. They had a cancer removed, all of that. So the people that I work for, they're so dear and near to my experience. They don't bother me. They know when this air quality, don't even look for her to come out the door, because I sent the picture and I was being sarcastic about it, but I sent the picture and I think I had everything on. If I come out the house, this is how I'm gonna be looking. Like, you're not gonna even know who I am, because I was just like, you couldn't see nothing but my eyes. It was just that bad.
Yeah.
And that's so good. From day to day, I can definitely tell how the climate, the air is gonna be due to my condition. If I'm getting up and my breathing is not quite right, that's an indication. It's just a number of things.
Right. Is it true you were a former smoker?
20 plus years ago, I hadn't smoked a cigarette. Oh my God, when they told me I had lung cancer, I said, I ain't smoked a cigarette in 20 plus years. But the surgeon said, one cigarette will do it. Say, you got COPD so bad. I say, huh? Yeah.
So were they saying it was from the cigarettes or from the pollution?
It was a little bit of both. The COPD, the air pollution. This is just me. If a person have quit smoking cigarettes, however many years, but still in that air quality and got COPD, that's dangerous. Yeah. That's really dangerous.
So that's scary too, Dr. Levinsky, to see us nodding.
Yeah.
Let me ask an extreme question to you, doctor. Is consistent poor air quality as bad as someone who's smoking all the time?
Yeah, it can be as bad. And as a matter of fact, I am a pediatric pulmonologist. So I take care of children who have lung disease and they're not smoking. Mm. But we know that there are studies that show that chronic exposure to poor air quality leads to lung diseases, even in children like asthma or chronic exposure to poor air quality leads to children's lungs not developing fully and actually having smaller lungs than people who may not have been exposed. And let me add to that. So what Ms. Welch is describing and what you mentioned, Reverend Mark, about stress, there's a real phenomenon out here called weathering. I don't know if you've heard of this. There's a book by Arlene Geronimus where she describes this concept of weathering. And she talks about something called allostatic load. So basically, this is the idea that stress on our body and how we are seen in society and how we are treated by society has a significant impact on our health above and beyond what care we take for ourselves. So Ms. Welch is talking about smoking versus non-smoking, but just this chronic stress of living in a racist society has a potential to influence our health and increase our susceptibility to things like air pollution, to things like tobacco smoke exposure, to make those outcomes worse for people like us. So there's one thing about, obviously, it's important for us to take care of our health, to eat healthy, to do as much as we can. But when we also think about how society views us and how we walk through society, the things that we encounter, that puts a significant toll on our bodies that can also influence our health and make things like poor air quality affect us worse than somebody else whose bodies aren't as stressed.
I'm sure the air pollution didn't help us during COVID either, did it?
No. There's some studies that have demonstrated that people who lived in communities or neighborhoods where they had higher chronic exposure to air pollution were at greater risk for bad outcomes for COVID. Now, I will say, based on what I just described about this phenomenon, weathering and thinking about social and environmental stress, it could be multifactorial. Sure. In fact, we did a study here in New York City, which we're in the process of publishing right now, that actually showed that neighborhood deprivation or factors within the community that made a neighborhood or community less resilient may have made even more of an impact on worse outcomes from COVID than air pollution in and of itself. So I think these are really complicated, complex relationships, but they're not complicated. I think they're all running in the same theme, the same ideas. If you take a population of people and you marginalize the population, this population of people are on the fringes and you're doing things like putting factories and highways into our neighborhoods and our communities, it's going to impact our health.
Not to mention cumulatively, just now, is there an acknowledgement of highway systems cutting through Black communities historically? Our ancestors knew it when it happened, but now folk want to try to correct it. So if you think about going all the way back there, we've been dealing with this for a very long time.
I was just going to say that we have a paper where we're looking at historical redlining. This is a term that's become more and more popular now, and people are finally understanding what happened. This is after the Great Depression in the 1930s, where the government sponsored this program where they would decide which neighborhoods and which communities they would invest in, which communities, if you lived in a neighborhood, would you get a home mortgage so you can buy your home or wouldn't you? And of course, they created maps and they put all of the communities, most of the neighborhoods that have predominantly Black people living in those neighborhoods or predominantly immigrants, those were the red line neighborhoods where they would not invest in. And that has had downstream consequences. In our paper that we're looking at right now, we see that children who live in these neighborhoods that were historically redlined way back almost 100 years ago are currently experiencing worse asthma outcomes than people who live in non-redline neighborhoods. So exactly as you describe, our ancestors knew this is 3-4 generations ago when these policies were in place, but they're having an impact on our health today.
We often say, and I'm often guilty of saying this, when we look at our individual selves, it's a cliche. When you think you're doing bad or poorly, keep in mind that oftentimes you're still blessed and there's someone doing worse than you. But you just enlighten me, doctor. That's not necessarily true, just from what you described about the psychological and the psychosocial stress. So in fact, if you do think you are doing bad, not only are you probably are, but the thought the stress that thought brings can put you in a position as bad as anybody else you can imagine. And that's a heavy thing to think about. Gwen Welch, what advice do you have for anyone listening who is trying to negotiate? Imagine that even some people, folks, that's why this report is important. Again, there's some of us who have issues we're not even aware that we have.
That's right.
So if I'm someone listening, if you're listening, you suffer from COPD or asthma or something, and okay, doc said you got COPD and asthma, but nobody has bothered to inform you, or you've not been able to find information to show that the air quality where you live, you should look at this report, find out where you live and how the air quality affects your conditions, heart disease, diabetes, other things that we don't necessarily associate with air quality. This air quality might be a factor. What advice do you have for people, Gwen Welch, who are trying to negotiate their lives in spaces of poor air quality?
The first thing we need to do, instead of us talking about it, where are we going to go? Who do we see about this? Who do we go back to Washington? And this is a serious question. Do we need to all get together and go to Washington? Do we need to go talk to the cynics?
Yes, ma'am.
Do we need to go get a bill written up and signed by the president? What is it? My story is this. Mm-hmm. If you know better, you should do better. You should want to do better. But I know a lot of people that know my story and has been diagnosed with COPD won't get up and do nothing about it.
Why is that? Why do you think that?
Still smoking cigarettes. Still depending on a state check. So therefore, you got to be in the state housing, which we know where state housings are. So we definitely know where they're at. It's just, we just need to get together as a people. We need to go to Washington. We need to do something about this.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
But it is, Dr. Levinsky is here, there's Washington, but what role do city and state governments play in this as well?
There's a big role. I think actually, even beyond that, you can think about there are local community organizations, grassroots organizations that are doing the work. And I think what's important to acknowledge, and I alluded to this in the beginning, is that the sources of air pollutants vary by neighborhood, by communities, by regions. And so it's really important to be plugged in into your local community to understand what is it that's burdening your community and what are some things that people are doing to advocate for that. For example, here in New York City, I can think of two organizations that are wonderful, like We Act for Environmental Justice or South Bronx Unites. These are community organizations that know the neighborhoods, know the communities, know the ways that they can petition or advocate within the local space to improve air quality. When you think about on the national level, the federal organization that's responsible for making sure that we breathe clean air is the Environmental Protection Agency, the EPA. Mm-hmm. And one of the most wonderful takeaways that I can share, I actually served on an EPA committee a couple of years ago that reviewed the air quality standards and reviewed all the scientific evidence that demonstrated at what air quality do we see bad outcomes for human beings or poor health outcomes. And as a result of that work and the work of many others at the EPA, Administrator Michael Regan just announced in February that he's reducing the air quality standard for particulate matter from 12 micrograms per cubic meter down to 9. So that's meaningful because what it is, now it's the law. Now, over an annual period, any region, any neighborhood has to demonstrate that any community, any state legislator area has to demonstrate that their air quality meets this threshold or is below the threshold. So your question about what are the state and local governments have to do? They're the ones that have to enforce these air quality standards. I think there are multiple levels in which people can get involved and make sure that their voice is heard and make sure that they can advocate for improved air quality.
Very important. Go ahead.
I was going to say, even the community, the neighborhood aldermen, the district aldermen, they know. They're very aware of what's going on in the neighborhoods. They need to also stand up.
But a lot of that work is voluntary, right? So they need people. They need concerned citizens and people who care not only about their health, but the health of their loved ones, the health of their children, and the health of their grandchildren to actually do the work of making sure to advocate. And some of that work might be going to Washington and using your voice and telling your story. But all of it is important in this fight.
Yes.
Yeah, very, very important. I want to thank you both for joining us. Folks, check out the State of the Air report at lung.org. That's for the American Lung Association. Sister Welch, any closing thoughts?
No, not at all. I just, hopefully, sooner or later, the air quality will get better. Not just for people with health issues, but all around.
Yeah, yeah. Dr. Levinsky, this year, any closing thoughts on your part?
Just to piggyback on that, it is getting better and it can get better. And even we see in the State of the Air report that the ozone levels are lower than they have been in previous years. Yes. So I think the work that you're doing, Reverend Mark, is so important in making sure that this message, just as you described, people aren't always thinking about this, but this is definitely impacting people's health. And so get that message out there so that people understand how this is impacting their health and what they can do about it.
Wynn Welch has been, she, the American Lung Association, calls her one of their lung force heroes. Read all about her at lung.org, and the State of the Air report is also there. Our other guests, honored to have her as well, the Lung Association spokesperson and associate professor of pediatrics and environmental health sciences at Columbia University, Irving Medical Center, Dr. Stephanie Levinsky-Desir. Thank you to you both for informing us about this all important issue here on Make It Plain today.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for getting woke and listening to Make It Plain. As always, perform an act of kindness on behalf of an elder or young person. Write a letter to a sister or brother who just so happens to find her or himself incarcerated. Offer libations to the ancestors upon whose sturdy shoulders we all now stand. And above all, give thanks to the God of your understanding by whatever name you call her and him. All God asks of us is that we give each other love. Thanks for giving MIP love. And please remember to subscribe and give us a 5-star rating. If all hearts and minds are clear, it has been made plain.